olo e whaafafonga ili SBS Samoan sa ili nisi mautala ili sbs.com.au/Samoan.
Father Epeli, mbula talo falava.
Mbula binaka, yeah.
Now, Father Epeli, I know that there are quite a lot of our Moana Pasifika people worshipping at your parish there at St. Joachim's in Lidcombe. Tell us something about the parish.
Well, the parish is has been in Lidcombe for some years now. It was established on the 26th of May in 1885.
Wow.
Now, when you think about that, and when Christianity arrived in a lot of places in the Pacific, in Oceania, most of Fiji had not been Christianized yet when this parish was established. So this just shows the scope of how things, that Christianity is very young. Even in Australia and in the Pacific too, if you know what I mean. So I would think my forefathers were not Christian yet when this parish was established. So it's very interesting that now at this time, 140 years later, we are celebrating our 140th birthday this year in this parish community, and the demographic has changed a lot. When there's a mass on Sunday, you see the United Nations and more in the pews, and those of us who received the gospel of Jesus Christ a bit later are now part and parcel of this parish communities that were established, you know, over 100 years ago.
I think that's something that is becoming more and more apparent with every census in Australia.
That's
the question about faith, about religious belief. And how these old churches, not just in the Roman Catholic Church, but also in the Uniting Church and Anglican, many of them on any Sunday, most of those churches are now filled by Pacific Islanders.
Yes, yes. It really shows that, you know, the people are always on the move. And especially our Pacific people, we were seafarers, you know. We travel to one another's islands, navigated with the stars, and so I think going and moving and finding new places, new beginnings, it's part of our DNA as a people of the Pacific, you know.
And the church becomes the focal point of the new
of that
settlement.
Gathering.
Yes, doesn't it? Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. So here in Lidcombe, you know, in the early days, it was a very Irish, mostly Irish Catholic community, but that has changed a lot. There are still some descendants of those early parishioners still around, because they've intermarried with other families and they are still represented here. And you see that when there's a funeral of someone who's very senior in their 90s, and when there's a funeral for those parishioners, you see members of these families come to they are represented, and they tell you their names, and you make the connections. Ah, this is the great grandson from that family, and so there's a lot of memories here, living memories.
And of yourself, Father Epeli, when did you start your calling, How did you start in the priesthood?
Well, I was a school teacher. I was a primary school teacher. And I came to Australia to work as a primary school teacher, which I did in a in an independent school in Jural. During those years of teaching, I think the call, because we always see it as a call. Finally, I gave up, I suppose, running away from it. because I had heard the call when I was in teachers' college back in Fiji, but I wanted to work for a while, and I ended up in Australia, which was something I didn't expect. But it was coming here to work in Australia. It sparked a new attentiveness to this voice that's been calling for a long time. And after 4 years of teaching, I then entered the seminary here in Homebush in 2006. And then was ordained in 2012. Been in ministry now for 13 years, and it's been a great privilege and a journey, and it's been lots of blessings, and you learn so much along the way.
You have a lot of Moana Pacifica worshippers in your parish, don't you?
Well, there's a few of us here, which is always was a good thing. When I arrived, I noticed immediately that there are Fiji and Tonga and Samoans, Cook Islanders, from New Year, there's Maoris here, so even though small numbers, but they are active in the parish. So it's a home away from home, really.
And Father Epeny, before we talk about the new Pope, Pope Leo the 14th, can I ask you to reflect on the church in Australia and the Pacific, or indeed the world, under the late Pope Francis? You would have served most of your ministry under him.
Yes, that's a very broad. I'm going to try and do my best. I will work. I would approach it from this perspective, if I may. When I became a priest, Benedict was still the Pope, and then a year after that, or within the first 6 months, he resigned. And then for the last 12 years of my priestly ministry has been really guided by the example of Pope Francis, who led us in a very, very creative and courageous way. But the analogy I would use to try to answer this very deep question is to look at the two popes before him, with John Paul II, Benedict, and then Francis. These are popes, I mean, for even Paul VI for that matter, too. These are popes after the Second Vatican Council. And the whole intention of the Second Vatican Council was for the Church to relook at itself. In the history of the Church, all the councils of the Church were always to answer a particular question dealing with the doctrine of the faith or a particular teaching surrounding Christ, Jesus, or His Blessed Mother. So a lot of those councils were about clarifying the faith of the church. For example, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's both God and man, fully God and fully man. Now, that had to be clarified in a council because there were various teachings going around in the church at that time. This is, we're talking about in the first millennia of the church, that were beginning to contradict what had been passed down from the apostles. So that's just one example.
Yeah.
So the Second Vatican Council, it was the only council that was convened for the church to have a deep reflection of who she is. So it's a process of re-looking at her identity as the body of Christ and what that means in the context that the church finds itself in the modern world. We would say contemporary world, because the word modern was applied to the early 20th century. But in the contemporary context. So that's the background where these popes are coming from. So, as we saw with John Paul II, who came to most of the Pacific Islands, as we saw with Benedict, that they leave their ministry clarifying deeply what the Second Vatican Council started. Now, when it comes to Pope Francis, a new ball game started, if one would say, yeah, because he wasn't a professor of theology in that sense. He didn't work in universities as Benedict did and as John Paul II did. But he was very much a pastor and a leader in Argentina amongst the Jesuits, and later became Archbishop there. So he came from a very from the ground up kind of experience, if you know what I mean.
So he was more hands-on rather than an academic kind of pope.
His approach was different. But at the same time, he kept to that same thread that the council intended for the church to never stop remaining open to the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit. Because the church is in her members still needs that purification. Because the church's presence in the world is one of a witness. And to be an authentic witness of the gospel, we all need that constant purification.
I want to go back to, say, John Paul II. Not so much Benedict, but John Paul II and then Pope Francis. It appears, too, that under those two popes, especially in the Pacific, there has been, well, you used the term contemporary or modernization, but there was a breakaway, for example, in some of the liturgies, the way the celebration of in terms of the language. It used specific languages. So it's not so much the Latin anymore. Even the music, it's become a lot more, shall we say, accessible to most people in the language and in the sounds that the Pacifica people are familiar with. Would that be right?
That's a very good observation. Where the church has found its roots in the culture, it's both a natural process, but also a supernatural process, whereby the gospel evangelizes the culture. The culture is Christianized by Christ. But at the same time, the culture also enriches how that message is filtered amongst that particular people. This is part of the fruits of the council. Where when we go to, I've been to Samoa. When I go to Samoa and I see the cathedral in Samoa, it's as if you see the church is dressed in Samoan tapa. And that's meant to happen. And that's supposed to happen. For the church to be truly localized in that sense. It becomes part of the people, and the people become part of it.
There is a new dawn now for the church with the first American-born pontiff in Pope Leo the 14th.
Yes.
What exciting prospects can you see in this new chapter of the church under Pope Leo?
I think it's very exciting. I was there in Rome. I just came back from Rome. I was in Rome. I took a group of, went with a group of parents and their children from our children's ministry in the parish for an event in Rome, which didn't take place because the Pope died. But we were actually at St. Peter's when they announced that the Pope had died. So we were there in that week, and we went to the funeral. That experience was very much like grieving for a father. When I saw I watched the live coverage of the white smoke and Pope Leo coming on the balcony. Now, the exciting thing about it, what's taking place at the moment, is the first words of Pope Leo, he said, "Peace be with you." These are the first words of Jesus on the day of the resurrection. These are the first words Jesus said when he appeared to the apostles in the upper room. And so in the church, we're in this Easter time. Easter season goes for about 7 weeks. So we are experiencing this Easter joy. And to hear the Pope say the same words that Jesus said to the apostles, it captivated everyone. And I think the excitement is because he's younger and he's already spoken about something that is going to be a challenge for all of us, which is artificial intelligence. And I think another exciting thing about him is he hardly worked in Rome in that sense. He really worked in places that are familiar to us Pacific Islanders. You know, he slept on the floor, on the ground, in the mud huts, and he was there with people who suffered from flooding, and there are a lot of photos going around of his ministry. And when I see some of those photos, it reminded me of those missionaries in the early days before Rhodes, you know, in our very specific island nations. So the new enthusiasm is, first of all, is that that is the joy that he's sparked. And I think there's a lot of excitement surrounding how he will approach the social media and the possibilities that are there.
And the future of the Roman Catholic Church in the Pacific under Pope Leo XIV?
I think with Pope Leo XIV, with the Church in the Pacific, he's going to, I believe it, we can see from the way that, from the name that he's taken, he's going to speak to us a lot in the, he's going to revive and renew the social teaching of the Church regarding the dignity of the human person and human labor. You know, for us in the Pacific, we are coming into New Zealand, Australia to work. That needs to be, in my mind, needs to be looked at from an ecclesial perspective as well. So that human lives are not treated as a commodity. That we are not exporting human labor. That needs to be looked at with discernment and clarified in the light of the teachings of the gospel. So under Pope Leo, he is going to speak to us in a way that really touches how our experience of trying to make ends meet in the Pacific. You know, the cost of living is constantly increasing. And so a lot of our young people are coming into New Zealand and Australia to work, to send money back home. For all sorts of reasons, schooling, healthcare. So even from our experience for us in Fiji, the health system in Fiji is very, very poor. So there's a lot of costs involved in healthcare and all that. So so the Pope Leo is going to really help the Church in these parts to really look at the beauty of what it is to be a human being and the place of work and human labor and all that.
Father Epeli, minaka vakalevu favtailava and malo opito.
Really appreciate. Thank you for the privilege.
Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Like, share, mafaali sa finangalo, muli-muli ile SBS Samoan ile Facebook.